the week is finally about to come to an end. Shannon, how was your week anyway?
It was okay. It was fine. I don't know the difference between anywhere between weekdays and weekends, though, with what's going on with our shutdown. And
no
so they're all the same. The only thing different is whether I watch sports during the day on weekdays versus the weekend. Because, you know, I'll tell you what, Bob, golf, other than, you know, we talked earlier in the week about the Masters ratings being down, golf, both on TV and in person, golf has exploded during the pandemic. It's an amazing story. People want to get out. It's safe to play golf, they think. So golf courses are busy even when it's plus +3. And TV ratings for golf are exploding, I think, because more people are participating.
Well, or more people are sitting at home waiting for their golf course to open.
Yeah, other sports haven't exploded like golf has. My week was good. Bob, is spending every day with you is just a pure pleasure.
Thank you, John. I know you say that with complete sincerity.
Fingers and toes crossed.
And I'd like to tell you that I feel exactly the same way about this time we spend together, but I can't.
No, I know.
Honesty is my policy.
So here's the thing. The Jays lost last night. Leafs lost last night. And I think there's now a point where we don't care what the Raptors do.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because I think I looked yesterday, I want to say. I probably should know this in anticipation of the guests we have coming on today. But I think they're only a game back of Chicago.
Game and a half, I think.
Win last night?
I don't know.
Well, see, there you go.
But they're also probably the same amount of games out of 12th as they are out of 10th. You know, they've put themselves in. They're in a strange position. They're in that no man's land in many ways, and they shouldn't. They should be well ahead of Washington. They should be well ahead of Washington.
Well, they should be a lot of things, and we're going to discuss this. Eric Smith of Sportsnet and Rod Black of TSN are going to join us, and you know, a couple of basketball guys, and we're going to address a bunch of issues, like how much can you attribute their performance to COVID and or injuries? I mean, they've played most of the last couple of weeks without their point guards or without their guards, their starting guards. Excuse me.
Well, now we're trying to find small victories in the play of Malachi Flynn.
Well, yes. And but at the end of it, can any team survive and play anywhere near their potential without their two starting guards in the lineup? Mm. And I think the answer to that question is no, unless you have your strength of your club is up front, where you've got, say, two superstars at the forward positions. And the Raptors don't have that.
Right.
The strength of this team are their guards, both from a shooting perspective and a playmaking perspective. And while Flynn has done an okay job, I think probably a more than decent job, he's a baby. He's a rookie. He's a kid. He's not supposed to be playing minutes. He's supposed to be sitting and learning and watching. And if he's going to play, as he did early in the season, you send him down to the G League to get some minutes on the court.
And how easy is that now?
Well, all of this is tough.
Yeah.
But it's doable. They did it earlier in the year. You know, he played some games with the farm team. Now he's being asked to do it against high quality NBA opposition. They have a couple of new guys. Well, four or five new guys that they're trying to integrate into the lineup, and you know, one or two guys in the middle. And so all of this is the kind of stuff that competitive teams do not do. this is the kind of thing we saw 8 or 9 years ago when the Raptors were trying to build.
Yeah. Okay.
And now we regressed to that point now, where kind of a rebuild, but it's a rebuild around with in the absence of probably your two key players.
It'll be interesting to see what Eric and Rod think.
Eric Smith, Rod Black will join us, and we'll talk about the Raptors. Do they actually want to get into the postseason? Is there any advantage in not getting in? What do we blame this performance on? And what does if this year is a write-off, what does the immediate future look like? We'll address all those things when we continue after these messages. It's Bob McCown. It's John Shannon. We are back on the program, on radio, online, on podcast, wherever you want to watch it or listen to it, you can. With us a couple of nerdy basketball guys.
No, experts, Bob. They're experts.
Couldn't need no introduction. Rod Black of TSN on the screen here, and Eric Smith from Sportsnet. Well, you both look beautiful. How are you? Okay, everybody okay?
Yeah, everybody looks good. I'm so glad Eric's on here. He brought the average age of this podcast, or I call it, the old sodcast, down considerably. I like that. Hey, Eric, how are you? Look at that. Look at all the wine that is missing from that wine cellar.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a rough year, so I purposely did that so that maybe Bobcat will send me something from Stony Ridge, you know, restock a little bit.
For the record, Rod, we were that young once.
Yeah, we were. That was a long. It seems like a pandemic ago, though.
Oh, it was. It's almost 30 years since I told you you couldn't rollerblade down the streets of Barcelona.
That is a great story.
So here we're doing the Barcelona Olympics, and Rod's our primetime host, and I'm producing the primetime show, and we get off the air at 5 a.m. Barcelona time, and it's still dark, and anybody who's been to Barcelona knows most streets are cobblestone. And here we have the face of our network, and it's about a 5 kilometer walk rollerblade back to our hotel. We all have cars and drivers to do it, but no, Rod, no, Johnny, I need to get some exercise. I said, Rod, if you fall flat in your face on the cobblestone streets, what are we going to say tomorrow night when you come with scars and bandages and polysporin all over your face?
You know what they would say? What a break for Rob Falls.
So in an act of dictatorial power, the primetime producer told the primetime anchor, you cannot rollerblade back to the hotel anymore. And
wait a second. You did not say that. You stole my rollerblades. And it's impossible to rent rollerblades in Barcelona, Spain. And so you stole them. And I was wondering where they went. And you had this sheepish look on your face at the time. But I remember it like yesterday. It was one of the greatest times of my life working with you, JS. I know Bobcat would agree. Eric as well. Johnny Shannon, you are one of the great guys to work with, and I've had the pleasure through the years, and we've got a lot of stories. We could actually put a podcast or an old sodcast together just telling those stories. By the way, podcasts these days, guys, are like buttholes. Everybody's got one. Oh, wait, you guys got one too.
Yep. The difference is some are prettier than others.
Well, here's the thing. You got a nice butt. I must say, this is a good podcast. Because everybody's got a podcast. I think my kids got a podcast.
I think there are 100,000 of them in Canada. 100,000 podcasts, which is a staggering number, isn't it?
There's only a few good ones like this one.
Well, up until today. We'll see how today
goes. Yeah, that's right.
So we were chatting off the top before you two dum-dums arrived about the Toronto Raptors and their performance this year and trying to get an assessment of how we evaluate this team. Can you honestly evaluate them? I think we would all concede, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that this is nowhere near the championship team of a couple of years ago. that they simply aren't in that category. But where are they? And then subsequently, we'll address where are they going. Injuries, COVID have devastated this team. They're missing both their starting guards. Nobody wins in the NBA with your starting guards out. But E, to you first, since Blackie has been chatting for a bit here. When you look at this team, what do you see?
I still want to know if Rod actually packed the rollerblades to go to Barcelona with the rollerblades. So you can tell us the rest of that. You did.
He nodded. Yes, he did.
That's impressive.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's beyond impressive, Roddy. You know, like you're not worried about the weight in your bag because you really needed those rollerblades for Barcelona. I'm impressed.
Eric, he was a star. He was a star.
Hey, he still is.
Years later, all I pack are cases of Jay Lore to hang out with Leo Rettins. That's when we traveled. Eric, answer the damn question.
So Bob, the other thing I would throw into that as well is injuries and COVID and relocation as well. And I think the impact of that and being away from Toronto and down in Tampa and not really having a home arena to play in. And I think that is factored into everything and just the upheaval and the disheveled mess that has been the season for the Raptors overall. So I don't know if we can truly evaluate where they're at right now, Bob, because we haven't seen this team arguably together for at least 8 weeks, if not longer. If you go back to the beginning of March and when all the health and safety protocols started and losing Pascal and losing Van Vliet and losing 5-6 guys from your lineup, the Raptors haven't had more than 8 to 10, 11 healthy bodies for damn near 2 full months now. And in the midst of all this, winning one game in the entire month of March, they're still knocking on the door of that 10th seed and trying to slide into that play-in tournament, which is ridiculous. I just don't know where they're at. I really don't. I don't have a great answer for you in terms of how you evaluate this year, let alone when the dust settles, the season ends, no matter where they land, what does become of the summertime? What does become of Kyle Lowry? You've already traded Norm Powell. What does the future look like with a core of OG, Fred, and Pascal? It's just, I think there's more questions right now and not a lot of answers, at least not a lot of clear answers.
Black, you on board with that?
Yeah, and I think Eric said a key word, evaluate. Here, they're not as good. Let's put it this way. They are not as good as the championship team. You'd have to be a fool to say that. I mean, clearly without a Kawhi Leonard, that core that they had, Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, you looked it down the list, they had the pedigree to win and they won. I thought in the bubble last year, even without Kawhi, they had a chance. They look good, and I think it was the residue from the championship that still existed. And let's face it, we call Kyle Lowry the greatest Raptor of all time, not because he's the most skilled Raptor of all time. It's just because he wore that dinosaur like no other player has ever worn it and has been a leader. But right now, I think the word is evaluate. You look at what they're doing, and I think the word tank gets thrown around a lot. I'm going to tell you guys right now, they are not tanking. A tank, in my mind, under the definition, and I think you all would agree, a tank is when you just throw everything into the wind, you don't play anybody, you lose every game so you can get a generational player. There is no generational player in this year's draft. There are some good draft picks. Would they like to probably fold up the tent a little bit in the back of their minds and just disperse and get ready for next season? I do think that might be there. Yes, they could play in for a play-in game, but when they're resting, if you're going to play in, if you've got a chance to go in and play a play-in game, I think you still play all your players. I still think you play all your players. And even though you go, rest, I think you still give. And by the way, even by default, you guys, they still have a chance to play in because Chicago is in a free fall. So, and now Zach LaVine is in protocol. This is such an strange, unusual. I'm sure you guys have used every adjective up during this COVID protocol. And Bobcat, you're right. COVID has not affected any other team in North American sport, with the exception perhaps of the Vancouver Canucks and the Duke Blue Devils who didn't play in the tournament. Mm-hmm. That has really, really affected this team, clearly. Did they have a chance? Yes, they were 17-17. They were like fifth or sixth had COVID not hit. So I still think they're probably, when you look at it going forward, I still think they're probably 5-8, logically, legitimately. But right now, by not having any players available through COVID, through injury, through rest, they're not a playoff team right now. And so the craziest thing is that there are other teams, I think, with that same mentality, because I agree. I think you guys all probably agree. we're not big fans of the play-in. I think the play-in worked in the bubble. It will work under these circumstances. Moving forward, I hope they scrap the entire idea of play-in games. It takes the fight for 7 and 8 completely out of it. So again, I think there is a big question mark around it. I don't think they are as good clearly as a championship team, but I do think they fit down that rung, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8. And now they got to move ahead and they've got to kind of find that player who can play with their core, their three players that they have, because I have a feeling that Kyle Lowry's days as a Toronto Raptor are probably coming to an end.
You do?
I do. I think that.
So you would have traded him?
And trust me, I love Kyle. I mean, as a player,
business decision.
Yeah, it's a business. I totally think that the Raptors were on board to move him. It's a $30 million contract that was sitting there. They still have to pay it out. But moving forward, is Kyle Lowry going to make $30 million next year? I mean, this is just market price stuff. Is he worth it to a team? I am surprised a team didn't grab Kyle Lowry. Like Denver, do you think Denver would like Kyle Lowry right now? Do you think the Lakers would like Kyle Lowry right now? Kyle Lowry may not be as skilled, as I said, as all that again. The guy knows how to win. He knows how to lead. So, yeah, I just think there wasn't the transformational deal that the Raptors needed and the picks and something back at the time. I completely believe they were trying to move him before the deadline, but they asked for a lot and nobody was really willing to bite. It's just business. I mean, are they going to pay Kyle Lowry $30 million next year?
Well, no. Would they have to pay Kyle Lowry $30 million?
No. But I mean, I don't know what Eric feels, but I think, you know, Kyle's going to take, he's 34, 35 years old. He's going to take a significant cut. I mean, but he might be that kind of guy that says, maybe even he wants to stay. Maybe Kyle Lowry wants to stay and say he'll play for 20. That's still $20 million is a big hit on this. Let's put it this way. They've got almost $70 million tied up in three players. That's a lot of money.
What I find interesting and what makes me kind of, I don't know, guys, the spidey senses start to tingle a little bit is, and it ties into everything you've talked about, Rod, the sort of confusion of, You might not be great, but yet you're not tanking, but yet you're resting players. Well, you ultimately decided to not trade Kyle Lowry. And I'm a big proponent of don't just make a deal for the sake of making the deal. Don't make a bad deal. I mean, you look at what Houston got for Victor Oladipo. Kyle Lowry's a better player than Victor Oladipo. But with due respect, I don't really have any interest in Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley. If the Rockets wanted to take that on just to unload Victor Oladipo, so be it. Sounds like the Raptors were fairly close to two separate deals with Miami and LA right up until the last minute.
I would have loved Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero would have been.
The guy they wanted, I think. They took Orlando, took him, or Miami took him off the table.
Yeah, that was the sticking point, I think, based on everything I've heard. It was that they were willing to give up Duncan Robinson, but the Raptors wanted Tyler Hero. If the Heat throw Tyler Hero in, the deal probably gets done. But the reason I say Bobcat and John and Rob, my spidey senses, I could be dead wrong with this theory, but John, you kind of perked up when Rod said that he thought Kyle might be gone. And I kind of tend to agree with you, John, in that I'm not quite sure what's going to happen in the offseason. I think I'm leaning more towards Lowry is going to go somewhere else. But if you ultimately did not make a trade for the guy, you kept him, but now you're not playing him. Well, if you were not going to play him, then why wouldn't you have just dealt him? Why wouldn't you just gone the complete opposite way of everything I just said? Why not just make a deal then? Why not bring back something just to get something? If you ultimately decided the right deal wasn't there for you, so you're going to keep this guy, well, then keep him and play him. Otherwise, what's the point in having him if you're not playing him? He was initially out with the injury. But the last two games, unless they're now just kind of massaging the wording, but they don't want to say injury anymore, they've legitimately said rest. Okay, so is this rest? Is he hurt still? Is it still the toe? Is it an infection again? Or is it rest? And that's where I find it kind of weird what's happening a little bit.
Yeah, it is weird. Unless, as well, I mean, I do think the toe, by the way, that toe infection was brutal, somebody told me. And that's why he did not play at the time. Is it rest? If it is rest, is it a rest down the stretch to keep him healthy for a potential sign and trade? Like, you know, that's another thing. We live in a world of conspiracy theories now. And I guess the only four people know what's going on. Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster, Kyle Lowry, and probably the most significant person in the whole mix is Kyle Lowry's agent, because agents mm-hmm. still rule the roost in many ways. So I agree with you totally, Eric, on all of that, because it just seems strange. You know, you still can go in and fight. The issue, I think, which what's happening is that they probably want to fall down. I would think if I was Messiah, I would like to fall down to get a nice pick. That's me. I'm just putting my hat on. I would like to get a nice pick, try to maybe get into the lottery. Again, not a generational player. The problem is all of these kids who are playing right now, the people that Nick are putting into the lineup, and Nick's a winner, Malachi Flynn, how is he going to develop and to get evaluated? He's got to win. Freddie Gillespie, what's he got to do? He's got to win. Gary Trent, what does he got to do? He's got to win. All of these kids are doing what the Raptors did when they traded Rudy Gay. Remember that, when they traded them, and they were going to tank for Andrew Wiggins. Guess what? Patrick Patterson, John Salmons, they all came over. Guys, they started winning. And by the way, it changed the franchise forever because of because they didn't tank for Andrew Wiggins, or tried to at least. Look what happened. We went into an era of constant appearances in the playoffs.
Well, which, again, we have divergent viewpoints here. Well, I'm not even sure we have viewpoints. We have opinions on what this organization might be trying to do. And there are moments where I'm not even sure that they know exactly.
They've already decided what the future is, because they've already told you what their core is. They got Freddie, they got Ananobi, and they got Pascal.
We're talking about Lowry and his future and what you do with it. And Blackie talked about a sign and trade. I find it difficult to believe that a team would pass on Kyle Lowry when you could have got him for something, but you could have got him at a meaningful time of the year for a guy who has playoff experience and championship experience. You pass on that, but then you're going to come back with him 6 months older to sign a, 2-year contract with him to start next year through a sign and trade. I don't see that. I think the Raptors have now committed themselves to either letting Kyle Lowry walk or re-signing him next year, presumably at a lower number. And Blackie, you, I think, said $20 million, and that doesn't seem unreasonable to me.
Well, you tell you what, Messiah and Bobby Webster sat on trade deadline day and played poker, and in my opinion, lost. They played poker because they thought somebody would actually take that. Okay, yeah, we'll give the hero. We'll give you somebody off our roster in LA. And in the end, the other team folded first. And I think we're going to look back at a certain point and say that was a terrible, terrible, terrible mistake.
And you know what happened, guys? Here's why. Is because Masai Ujiri has not lost too many poker games. And I believe that every general manager and president in the NBA is fearful of getting into a dance with Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster, and the Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. It's been proven. There aren't very many that didn't go Masai's way. I guess you could say probably these last 6 months, Serge Ibaka, people go Marc Gasol, but
that was a choice.
Marc Gasol. Yeah, Marc Gasol played. You saw, but they, Serge Ibaka also, they could have made that choice better for those guys. They could have kept him, but they're not going to sign Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol, if you saw the way he played in the bubble, you're not going to take him. But Masai Ujiri doesn't lose these things. And that's why. And I do, Johnny, I think they did have a miss there coming. They probably overvalued. And again, we love Kyle Lowry as broadcasters, as a Raptor Nation, people who've watched this guy play. Would he have helped a team right now going to the playoffs, making the deal? I agree with Bobcat. He would have absolutely, absolutely helped the team.
Well, and Bob, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that whatever happens with Kyle Lowry, I think he's either signing or leaving. I don't think there's going to be a sign and trade.
Probably not, Bob.
Like if you use Miami as the example, and it based on things I've heard, they're the leading candidate. If it's not Toronto, then it's Miami. And even if it's for no other reason, I can get a little bit of heat for Kyle, and he can golf year round and whatnot. The Heat might be looking at it for the same way we're evaluating what are the Toronto Raptors. The Heat have been up and down the season. They've dealt with COVID. They're going to be a playoff team, it certainly looks like. So then why lose even a Duncan Robinson, let alone a Tyler Herro? You know what? We'll just chill. We're probably not making it back to the championship again this year. We're probably not winning the championship, but we'll wait and gear up for next year. We'll get rid of this bizarro world, COVID season, and we'll just sign Kyle Lowry as a free agent in the offseason. and let Kyle Lowry play with Tyler Hero, play with Duncan Robinson, play with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, and not touch the core of our young pieces. And we'll add that guy next year when it's an 82-game season and, knock on wood, we're living in a bit more of a normal time, normal world, and we can go forward with that. And I can see the mentality from the Heat's perspective to say, you know what, then we're not blinking. And that's why, John, part of me says, we're arguing maybe splitting hairs here. Did he lose the poker game or did he fold? Did he ultimately say, no, I don't want to take part in this hand again because I don't want to take something back that I really don't want. So if I'm not getting what I want, I'm out of this round. I'm out of this hand.
That's fair. I mean, that's totally fair. But in the end, you know, you as a manager in any sport, if you have an asset, you have to use your asset to the best capability for the long-term success of your team. And I think you have to ask the question, does Lowry over the next 18 months, is he going to become an asset for this organization? And every person has their own answer, and every person can get sentimental, but this is a cold-hearted business. Mm-hmm. And this is one where you say, what's best for the Toronto Raptors 2 years from now? And the answer is not with Kyle Lowry on it. I'm sorry. It isn't.
Yeah. Is it diminishing again? You know, Father Time undefeated. There's a lot of miles on the odometer. I mean, you can only take so many charges for such a long time. And let's face it, they've also by signing Fred VanVleet to that monster contract, they've also said who their future point guard is. Now they got Malachi Flynn, who could be that apprentice underneath. We saw OG Anunoby the other night play the off guard. You know, like, I mean, there's something there to be said about where they're going to go. They need other pieces. But let's say it's a $20 million question. John, you're absolutely right. You sign players as a general manager. You sign players in every sport. You know why you sign them? To replace them someday.
Sure.
To replace them someday. And that, it sounds cruel. People, oh, no, you're going to build a statue. No, they probably will. But, you know, at $20 million just for having a guy around and to get applause occasionally, to get some runs in. Again, think about it. It's not going to be a one-year contract, I don't think. If I'm Kyle Lowry, you're going to take a one-year? No, you're going to try to set your family up. You're used to making $30 million a year. You're probably going to want 2 to 3 years. I think a two-year contract seems reasonable right now at 20 per, $40 million in an organization for a 35-year-old point guard. That's a lot of money.
Let's address what is the future for this organization. And I mean, specifically with regard to the players they have already committed to. Are they good enough? We'll talk about that when we continue after these messages. Bob McCowan, John Shannon, Eric Smith of Sportsnet, and Rod Black of TSN with us as we talk about the Raptors, their present, their future. Well, let's address the future a little bit. You have three players under long-term contracts with significant levels of income. Siakam, VanVleet, Anunoby. Is that the right three? Is that core, does that core give you optimism that by tweaking the other two positions, and I'm gonna exclude the bench because it's always an intangible and kind of the last thing you worry about. You just try and find some square pegs that fit into square holes. Those three guys give you enough confidence to suggest that with the right additions, not stars, but solid additions, this team can once again contend for a championship. Blackie, to you first.
I look at it this way, and I would not have thought, I'm not sure how Eric feels about it, I would have not have thought a couple of years ago that OG Anunoby would have developed into the kind of player that he had. And maybe it's just because we didn't get a chance to see him. He had some injury issues. Of course, he was coming off his knee injury. He had some personal issues. He really wasn't part of that 2019 championship, even though he has a ring. I honestly think that OG Anunoby's star is ascending. We have seen what's happened with Pascal Siakam. I do believe it's related to COVID, but I also believe it's also related to his development as a player. I have a theory, and I don't know how you guys think about this. I call it the 8-year rule. And any athlete, male or female, when they start playing a sport, you usually start around 10 years old. By the time you're 18 or 19, that's who you are. You could develop a little more, but you know, they're going to be incremental. You're not going to bloom by the time that Pascal Siakam, in my mind, is 18 right now, even though he's 24, is because of where he started. And so that might be the ceiling for Pascal Siakam, what we're seeing here. He's prone to making that same move all of the time, sometimes prone to stubbornness. He's obviously got to develop a three-point game. But his I find his frustration levels and his inconsistency is really starting to plague him. I do think this season's a bit of a write-off. I think he has a lot of work to do, personally, mentally, to try to get back to that player. $30 million a year player, guys. $30 million a year player. Same as Kyle Lowry. That is a ton of money. You are supposed to be an all-star. I would, and this is not again, Pascal Siakam's not playing like an all-star right now. Now, Fred VanVleet, I think he is going to be, again, he just defies people. He continues to get better. He's almost like that DeMar DeRozan, continues to get better every year. So I do, long answer, I do like that core. But are they the big three? Look in the East. Look at the threesomes that they have, and you have to have a trio. You look at those. I'm not sure. I still think they have to go out and get another player if they can find another player. Look how Kawhi dropped in their lap. I don't think there's another Kawhi is going to drop on anybody's lap anytime soon. So moving forward, as I said before, they're, you know, do the math. They're going to, if they can get 25 a game, that's 75 points. You get to, you know, 110 points. Where's those other points going to come from? Raptors are going to have to find that, because the top three or four teams in the East are significantly better than the Raptors are right now. I do see them falling to 5 to 8. And I think, as I send it over to Eric, I think the biggest question right now is Masai Ujiri's future. When will he sign his contract as the president of the Toronto Raptors? You would have thought they would have given him the key to the city. I find that very curious that he hasn't signed a contract. Maybe it's going to happen, but why didn't it happen after they won the championship? My goodness.
By the way, Bob, Rod's answer really is no, they're not good enough.
Sorry.
And I did it in about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Rod did it in 3 minutes.
I was trying to think my way through it.
I'll try to be a little bit quicker, and I'm going to be right in the middle of both of you. Are they a championship contender? Are they as good as they were 2 years ago? No. But I'm going to throw one other name into that mix, Bob. OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam. I think very quickly Gary Trent Jr. becoming an important piece to what this team wants to be, and I think that's why they went out and ultimately made that deal. I think he's proving out of the shadow of CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard that he can do more, provide more offensively, and still be a pretty good damn defender. Now, is he a future all-star? Is he going to be a guy jumping off the page? I don't know, but I think he's a good core piece. But I'm going to actually disagree with Rod a little bit here. When I look at the Eastern Conference, now you want to throw in the Lakers and the Clippers and any other team, even Denver with a healthy Jamal Murray. Are they among the top 5-6 teams in the NBA? Probably not. But in the Eastern Conference, the only team, even to this second, the only team that truly makes me nervous is Brooklyn. When you've got James Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant, I mean, come on, forget about even Blake Griffin and everybody else. That team is ridiculously stacked. But until Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks prove to me that they can actually make it to a finals, let alone win one, they're still not scaring me. Suddenly Doc Rivers shows up this year and Philadelphia seemingly has it together. But I'm not necessarily, you know, invoking fear looking at Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Again, good teams, great teams, having a hell of a year. But if I'm the Raptors, I'm not looking at them saying, oh man, suddenly we got to worry about them. We've proven that we can beat that team in the past. So let's go in and say we can do it again. That's the mentality I'm saying if I'm the Raptors. I'm not necessarily scared of Miami. Again, good team, but are they a great team? I don't know. I look at Boston even, and Jason Tatum having gone through COVID, and Jaylen Brown, and okay, yeah, Kemba Walker. All right, you know what? I'm willing to go at it with Siakam, Anunoby, and Fred VanVleet against Brown, Tatum, and Kemba. Boston might get the best of me. They beat you in the bubble last year. But you know what? Again, I don't think that they're light years ahead of where the Raptors are. So I look at that and say, if I can complement my roster with again, a Gary Trent, I've got a Chris Boucher, I start sprinkling in some other pieces, whether Lowry is here or not, I think this team is still among the top 5-6 in the conference. Not in the top three, but they're in that top 5-6. I don't see them as a 7-8 bottom feeder fodder in the East. I really don't.
Well, fine. But I mean, the bar has moved after you win a championship.
Sure,
you know, there was a time when, you know, being 5-8 would have been an aspiration for this organization. Now it's considered a disappointment. Let me say this too. What is really intriguing, if one looks at what has happened in recent history in the NBA, we look at the Los Angeles Lakers, two star players. They acquired both of them. You mentioned the Brooklyn team, three star players. They acquired all of them. Miami, when they won championships, had three star players. They acquired two of the three. It is
so rare. Did Boston. So did Boston in their, you know, when they had the big three.
It is rare that you build from within and are able to create enough quality so that going out and getting just one player to fill a need, which is what the Raptors did for 19, essentially. Mm-hmm. I think Gasol was an acquisition and he had value, but he wasn't a star player. Ibaka had his ups and downs. He had his best years with the Toronto Raptors, but not considered a, you know, premium kind of guy. I just wonder, you've got three guys in the organization now that you're paying a lot of money to, all of whom have been drafted and developed by this organization. This team seems to be absent that X factor that you go out and get. And I assume there will come a time when they'll do that. But you've got how much, Blackie? Nearly $70 million in those three guys?
Yeah.
That eats up a lot of your cap. That doesn't give you a whole lot of room. And well, you may have to get more than one of those guys.
Yeah, and great points. But, you know, I think we talked earlier about the poker game that Masai was playing in, and this was a bit of a poker game that they obviously ostensibly played this year, hoping and I guess fingers crossed and praying that Giannis Antetokounmpo would become a free agent. Mm-hmm. And with Masai's relationship, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or Pat Riley to figure out that seemed to be the play for the Toronto Raptors. Wouldn't it have been a great play? That's a generational kind of player. That is a generational player, like Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard came to the Raptors because he was disenchanted. You're not going to get too many of those disgruntled players like the James Hardens who are wanting to leave and are able to leave via trade.
Well, Kawhi came because he got traded for it.
But traded, exactly. By a trade. And he had no options. So that's the thing. And so the good news for the Raptors is that you know, they become a championship team already, and a player would be attracted to come here. That's the thing. I the Toronto Raptors were not an attractive team for a destination for a lot of players years ago, not because it was Canada, maybe it was, but because they were lousy. They sucked. Now they got it. There is a winning formula here in many ways.
I hear that all the time. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm going to point to the two guys we just talked about. Kawhi Leonard could have stayed here. Many thought he would have mm-hmm. would stay here. He chose not to. We can go into the reasons all you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they basically said, we're going to allow our two big guys to go because we think we can get Antetokounmpo. And he didn't come. So cite the case of how much popular this city is to play in now.
You know what?
Five years ago.
Bob, I'll tell you what, Bob, and Rod brought it up earlier. I don't think it has anything to do with the city. I think the one magnet for players to come and play for this franchise is one person, and that's Masai. And because I think Masai is viewed within the basketball world as one of the brightest, smartest, most magnetic personalities in the game, and he's a cutthroat winner. And I think
the free agent acquisitions that he's made. I'm not trying to critique Masai.
Kawhi.
This whole theory here about the significance of Masai Ujiri that I don't see. I think he's a smart guy. But has he signed a big name free agent? No. Was he able to keep the big name free agent?
But you know, guys, he's changed. He changed the franchise. Totally. I would say
agree.
He changed the franchise when he, and it doesn't even go to free agent acquisitions, because again, those players, there are the attractive spotlight areas for a lot of the NBA players to create their own empires, which are still, you know, LA, New York, the bigs. Now, I don't want to diminish Toronto. Toronto's a big city too, but Masai Ujiri's biggest moves were shedding contract of Andrea Bargnani, was trading away Rudy Gay. And if you look at the tentacles of what happened after all of that and the way all the dominoes fell, that was huge. It goes back to what you said before, the poker playing isn't necessarily free agents, although he would like to sign, I'm sure, a few free agents if they were available out there. But I do go. I think it goes back to his pedigree of being a very tough broker.
Yeah, tell you what, Bob, and I, you know, before everybody sends emails, you know, Kawhi wasn't a free agent; he was traded. Blah blah blah. There was no way that Kawhi was coming here the way he had control of his own career without somebody on this side giving this franchise credibility. And Masai.
So why couldn't they re-sign him?
Because Kawhi's a different guy. You know Kawhi's a different guy. We've seen Kawhi being a different guy.
That's not an answer to the question.
The answer is because he's a wild card. Kawhi's a wild card, more so than any other person. He wanted to live in Southern
Kawhi
California.
Kawhi had one foot out the door for most of his time in Toronto.
Sure, before he got one foot in.
Hey, guys, here's the other thing, too, and at the risk of, you know, resurfacing the old argument, in the exact same summer, and I acknowledge that the Islanders were not coming off a Stanley Cup like the Toronto Raptors were coming off an NBA championship, but damn near everybody in Toronto was lining up saying, John Tavares, he's coming back home. He wanted to come home. He wanted to be home. He slept in Maple Leaf pajamas in a Maple Leaf bedroom. He's coming back to his childhood team. Kawhi Leonard wanted to go home to Southern California. Right. I don't know if he wanted to be a Clipper, but he wanted to go home. And everybody seems to forget about the fact that it was great that Tavares came to the Leafs, but with Toronto lost Kawhi Leonard. Well, the same thing happened to the hockey team in acquiring one of the top talents in the league. So I think it was a bit of a bizarro case, Bobcat, in terms of Kawhi. You know, had the Raptors, had the Raptors been in a situation where the LA Clippers did not have the financial room that they did, maybe Kawhi stays because they would not have had the money to be able to sign Kawhi Leonard. Maybe Kawhi tries to force their hand into a sign and trade. Maybe that happens. But it was one of those perfect storm things where a team in his backyard had the truck to be able to back up. If it was Memphis or Milwaukee or Minnesota that had the truck to back up, Kawhi Leonard's not playing in those cities, and he's probably still a Toronto Raptor right now. Or again, he was dealt in a signing trade.
And the other thing is, from a free agent perspective, any player that this team is going to go after, and they say here's our truck full of money, the first question the player or his agent's going to ask is, well, Masai, are you going to be here too? Are you going to be here, Masai? Because we trust you, we believe in you, we know what you can do, and I think to Rod's point way earlier. I think that's the biggest question this franchise has right now. I really do. I think, and because that will set the tone. That will set the tone. That's not a knock at Bobby Webster or Nick or anybody. This is Masai's team. It will always be Masai's team as long as he's here.
Well, we could go on and on, and I'm going to argue the merits of this, but we are forced by the clock to suspend operations for the moment. start consuming that wine when your wine cellar is completely empty. Give me a call and we'll see what we can do.
Okay. I think he just phoned you. He just phoned you now.
Yeah. Blackie, if you have any more logoed items that you can wear on your next appearance, we'd appreciate it.
I will. I have a Bobcat logo. I just put this on. I was just having a bad head day. But it was good to see all you boys. Hopefully we can see each other in person.
We'll do it again, hopefully, not too far down the road. Rod Black, Eric Smith. We'll come back and wrap it up after these messages. McCown and Shannon, to wrap it up again, our thanks to Eric Smith and Rod Black for joining us. Well,
we decided nothing.
Well, we didn't agree on anything.
Oh. I don't know. Well, that's okay. That's nothing new. What have you decided?
Well, look, the evidence doesn't suggest, it states that building a team internally is almost an impossibility if you intend to win a championship. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go out and you're going to have to acquire big name, high profile, expensive, proven assets that have been developed elsewhere. Brooklyn is in the process of doing that now. The Lakers have already done it and won a championship. Miami did it. Cleveland won a championship when they brought LeBron back home. Who hasn't followed that philosophy over the past 10 years has won a championship with homegrown talent? And the answer is, I don't think anybody.
I think Golden State did. I think Golden State did. You know, when you look at the core
But even the Raptors don't win without Kawhi for sure, but we forget Ibaka and even Gasol, who were acquired. And Ibaka was at least a very significant member of that championship team.
And really, it's one of the key things on all this is that this is a league, and these are players now that are prepared to take short-term contracts and opt-out contracts so that next year they can make twice as much money. And that's the personality of the NBA right now.
Well, if Masai was talking, and he's not, it would be really interesting to know how confident he was, truthfully, in his ability to get Antetokounmpo to come here. Because it seemed to me that he sold his soul and made his decisions on the two big guys based on the premise that he thought he was going to get them, and he didn't.
He can't do that. I mean, that's a tamper. Adam Silver would fight him $1 million for tampering, so he can't talk about that.
He had some level of confidence, I would have to think, wouldn't you? I mean, would you have made?
Oh, sure, I do. But we will never know until he's out of the game.
Well, perhaps that will come someday too, while we're still alive. We must get out of here. Y'all have yourselves a swell weekend. And if the creek don't rise, we'll see you again on Monday for John Shannon.